You are listening to the Intuitive Healing Connection, where intuitive healing connects with everyday living. Hi, my name is Gina Stroll, and I am your host. I am best known as the down-to-earth energy healer that doesn't sugarcoat the truth. I walk my clients through the healing process so they can find freedom from their emotional pain, heal from their past, and find peace and joy again. If you are interested in healing your emotional past, tapping into your spiritual side to receive your own answers, finding your own clarity, and discovering your own spiritual truths, then you are in the right place. I am here to lead the way and to help you discover your own intuitive healing connection. Hello, everybody, and I'm so excited that you're here today to continue this conversation talking about mediumship readings and give you all the information that you need to be able to seek out and get the information that you need for your purposes. Really, my goal in these, sharing this information with you is to help you understand, you know, really, this isn't something you just go Google and, you know, Google has all the answers. And even if you do Google it, there might be, you know, somebody's got their opinion and this opinion and that opinion. You know, I understand this is my opinion as well, but I also know I've been in this world for a long time. You know, I have been in the spirit world for many, many years. I've been able to connect with spirit my whole life. I've gone through extensive training in mediumship development. I teach mediumship development from time to time. I teach other people how to connect with spirit, how to connect with their loved ones. And because of all of that information, I thought it was very important to be able to share this information with you so that you, the average person, could understand how this all works. And this really came about, you know, by some phone calls that I've received lately for people wanting readings, wanting to be able to get that connection with their loved ones back. And, you know, grief is really, it's a hard thing. It really is a struggle to work through the stages of grief. And this is kind of what I want to talk about today, is how to know when you're ready to get a reading. You know, I want to talk about the five stages of grief and how you can kind of work through those a little bit and get to the point where you're ready to hear the information. Because one of the things that I know for sure is when we are heavy, heavy, heavy in grief, we will not hear the information. You will think you are hearing the information, but you are not digesting the information, because that information has to go through so many layers of grief and sadness and sorrow and all of the emotions that we're feeling from the loss of our loved ones, that it blocks us from really hearing the deep message the spirit has to share. Now, most people don't want to hear that. People have gotten angry at me for saying that. They're like, no, I need to hear from them. They need to come and see me. I need to know that they're here with me. The thing is, the spirit is with you every day. Spirit doesn't leave. Spirit's physical body leaves. Spirit energy, their soul, never leaves. It has never left your side. It will always be there with you. But we have a hard time understanding that. Our physical mind, our human mind, wants to say, well, they're gone because I can't pick up the phone and call them. They're gone because I can't go to lunch with them today and that they're not here with me anymore. I believe 100% that death is part of this life. Most people don't want to hear that either. That we come into this world, this physical existence. You were already a soul. You were already spirit form before then. You choose to come into this physical experience to get a body. The only part that death is losing that physical body. That is what we call death. That soul, that spirit still lives on, will forever live on. And I know it gets all convoluted in the religious world, but it really is that simple. Death of the physical body is literally like walking into another room, like walking out of your body into another room. The light switch flips on in this other room, and there you are. that is what death is like. Now, is there a struggle leading up to that? Yes. If there's sickness, the struggle of leaving the physical body, that's the part that we have a hard time with, right? Like that's, especially if you've had someone who was super sick, or maybe went through a tragic accident, had, you know, all sorts of, there's all these different ways, the struggle of leading up to that. But the actual act of passing is as simple as that. Now, once those souls pass, they're still here with us. You know, you hear about heaven in the religious world, you know, that souls go to heaven, they go back to their maker, they go, it's all right here. This is it. This is heaven. This is, their souls are right here with us. They're all around us all the time. Some people get all wigged out about that because they're like, oh my gosh, you know, you hear about the haunted houses and you hear about all the different things. And, you know, because we can't see it. Our human mind wants to see it. Souls are right here with us. They're walking with you every day. I remember just before I started my development, I used to see spirit in a physical form. Now, why is that? Because early on in my development years, my mind had to make sense out of what was going on. And so our minds have this fabulous way of painting a picture for us. But it was really interesting because as I would paint those pictures, I could describe these people to other people, to loved ones. And that picture that I saw in my head was exactly like that person would have looked like here when they were alive. Pretty cool, right? Like, because we can connect with them telepathically, they can connect with us. You don't need a medium. If you want to be, in all honesty, you don't need a medium to connect with your loved ones. I believe I can teach everyone. I have people ask me this all the time. Do you have to have a special gift or do you have to be a natural medium in order to connect with spirit? No, we all can connect with spirit. We all can choose to tap into those higher realms to connect with that. If you caught my last podcast, it was all about the vibration level of spirit. Yes, it is a higher vibration. Yes, it is, but it's possible for you to connect. I believe everyone can connect if we understand and are open to the possibilities. Now, I hear spirit in my head all day long. I hear spirits connecting with me. They talk to me like we're having a conversation. I don't see spirit in that physical form anymore because I don't need that in my life to know that spirit is with me. I know that they're here. At the time of this recording, you know, I've had a couple of losses recently as well. I look at death very differently these days. And it's not that I don't miss my loved ones that are gone, but I know they're not really gone. In fact, I understand that I really can connect with them more often now because I'm more open to that. Now that I know they're in spirit, I'm constantly sending that out there, telling them that I love them, asking them how their day is going. I know that sounds crazy, but I do. Like, it's just like having a friend to me that is there with me all the time. And you can get to that point too, if you are open to that. But, you know, in these series, I really wanted to focus on, you know, how to know when to seek a meeting, because a lot of us are not open to that. We don't think that it's possible for us. I want you to know that it is possible for you, and it is possible to create that different kind of relationship with your loved ones that have passed from this physical world. It is absolutely 100% possible to create a new relationship with them, to talk with them on a daily basis, to let them know anytime that you are sending your love out there, anytime that you are having a connection with them, whether you hear them or not, whether you know it or not, there's always that connection is always there for you. So I want to give you that heads up right off the bat today, because I think that's important in our healing process too, to understand spirit is right here with you. Where else would they go? I tell people this all the time. You think they're that busy that they're going to leave you in your grief and your hardship? Where would they be if they were here in the physical world? They would be with you. Maybe not as much. I believe even more so, you can get more of that connection with them after their passing because they are here. You know, the physical world kind of limits us, although I still believe in our energy world and being able to connect with people energetically. And that's a whole other I could do a whole series of podcasts on those as well, but I understand, and I want you to understand that your loved ones are here with you every moment, every day. They're connecting with you. They're reaching out to you. They want you to know they're here. They want you to reach out to them. And all you have to do is in your mind, tell them that you love them. That's connecting with them. It may not feel like enough for you because it's not picking up the phone anymore. It's not having those kind of conversations. But that is as simple as it can be. It is different now because they're not physically here. You can't go physically give them a hug. You know, this is the part of grief. This is the part that we struggle with, is because it changes for us. And our human mind does not like that change. It doesn't want to deal with the fact that, you know, their physical body is no longer here. No, you will no longer feel that physical body. You no longer need their clothes in the closet. You no longer need those things for them anymore because they don't require that anymore. Now they require a different kind of relationship with you. And part of this healing journey, I believe, which we'll continue to talk about, is really cultivating that new relationship. But we're going to talk about today going through the stages of grief and how to know when you're ready for a reading. So that's kind of what I want to focus on today. So if any of you have seen the stages of grief, and I'm sure that you have, you know, the first stage is denial. This is the disbelief stage. This is the minimizing the pain or the loss. You know, this is where we're just like, this really just isn't happening. How did this happen? You know, just a few days ago, like I said, I lost my uncle. He was a really cool guy. He was a really cool guy, and grateful to have him as part of my life. He has been a big part of my life, especially in my younger years. And, you know, his loss was very sudden. I also know that he's with his wife now, and that, you know, he was ready. It's okay. Everything's okay. So we go through that denial stage of like, oh my gosh, what are you talking about? There's no way, this cannot be happening. Then we hit that anger stage. This is the frustration, the resentment towards the situation. This is, you know, why is this happening to me? For this family that, you know, they've had two losses in a week's time, I'm sure there's a lot of anger going on right now. You know, what the hell? Like, are we being punished? What is going on here? Why these sudden loss? You know, for some, maybe they don't feel that anger as much as others. And I think we're all unique here. I think we need to understand that we are all unique. We all process in our own way. We all process in our own time. There is no time frame for dealing with grief. There is no time frame in a period of time that we should be over it. I love when people say, well, it's been long enough, you should just be over it. Well, not for everybody, because we don't all deal with things the same way. So, you know, some kindness here and understanding that we all do this in our own way. Then the next stage is kind of the bargaining. This is the stage of trying to negotiate or change the outcome of our loss. You know, why couldn't it have been me? Why couldn't we have just done this? Why didn't we just do that? Why, you know, maybe this is where you start making deals with God. You know what? If you could just change this, I'll change my ways. You know, I'll give my life to whatever it is that you want to turn it over to. And I'm not making light here. I'm just talking about the different areas. So then we can kind of go through a depression state, that feeling sadness, loneliness, isolation. You know, this depression stage usually comes in after, you know, we've been through the funeral, after we've laid our loved one to rest. This is kind of where the adrenaline starts slowing down. People get quiet. You know, at first when we lose a loved one, we seem to have lots of people around us, and they're kind of hustling and bustling around us, and everybody's there for us. And then, you know, we get through the funeral and we get through all the things, and things get really quiet. And this is where we can kind of hit that feeling, that sadness, feeling lonely, really feeling that loss of that loved one. I know in my experience dealing with people in grief, working with people and healing their traumas, I know that the time that I need to come in is here after the funeral's over, after the hustle and bustle. They've got plenty of help. They got plenty of people saying, crazy things. I was going to say stupid things, because if you've ever lost a loved one, you know, people say the dangest things. We just kind of have to kind of work through that. People say those things because they don't know what else to say. They don't know how to sit with you in your grief and your sadness and your sorrow. And so it's really hard for them. They just don't know what to say. They want to say something. They want to say something to cover, to comfort you, but it's not always the most comforting thing. But this is where I come in, is after the all of this busy time is over, when things have kind of settled down, this is where people need you. You know, if you know someone who has lost someone, it's easy to be there right in the beginning. You know, I hang back and I wait until the family leaves and everybody goes home and things quiet down, because that's when this depression sets in. That's when the big thoughts set in. That's when we start overthinking. And I mean, you've already been overthinking, but you've been so busy doing all the little busy work that needs to be done up to, you know, the last burying the physical body, taking care of the physical remains, doing all of those things, you know, doing celebrations of life or funerals or whatever you call them. It's been so busy up to this point that when people kind of start to taper off, this is where we need each other. This is where we need to step up. And this is the time. People think it's early in the beginning. I believe that it's this stage right here. That's when we need to step in and be there for our friends and those who have lost their loved ones. And then that last step is kind of the acceptance. This is the stage of coming turns to the reality of the loss and moving forward. Now, as a healer, I'm going to tell you, this isn't always being okay or liking what's happened. This is just understanding that, okay, you know what? If this is where we're at, this is where we're at. And I will do my best to move forward every day. This stage right here, this is when you're ready to hear a message. And as I talk about these five stages, you're going to go back and forth from denial to anger. You may jump from denial to depression to, and you may go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And it's okay to do all that. You're going to have emotions. You're going to have feelings. The healer in me says, you know what? You need to feel all of those things. You're angry. Have a rage day. You're angry. Be okay to be okay to be angry with what's happened. Be okay to not feel okay with losing them and not being able to pick up the phone, and accepting that you're human and you're going to have feelings from the loss. You know, whatever, however big that loss is for you, whatever it feels like you, be okay to set in that uneasiness and to not be okay. I think our biggest downfall in our human existence is that we try to tell everyone that we're okay when we're not okay. And we try to shove our feelings to the side and not really deal with our emotions. Emotions are a normal part of our human existence. They will always be here for you. You are always going to have emotions. If you shove them down, this is what causes the problems. I love working with people. So I have worked with many people who their spouses, significant others, kids, they know someone is going to die. And we start doing their healing work before the passing. And I know that sounds crazy, but it really isn't. And it allows them to step into this surrender. It allows them to be okay, to not be okay. It gives them permission to go through the stages of grief, to go through all of this before the loss of their loved ones, so that when they get to that point, they're ready. And it's not that we're ever ready to let them go, but it's that we will surrender in to the will of the universe. This is what's happening. This is what's going down. And I'm going to be okay to walk through that. And they still have healing work to do afterwards. But as you do that work leading up to it, it is so very helpful for you to deal with your traumas and your issues and your emotions and your feelings. And it helps them deal better with the aftermath of all the things that come down afterwards. So that's just a little, I love working with people through all of this. I've worked with many families who are going to lose a loved one. I've done healing work with the soul who's passing away, who knows that their time is limited. I've done healing work with them. It literally is one of the most spiritual, beautiful experiences you can ever have. it is not fun watching people die, you know, especially if they've been sick for a long period of time. It's not fun watching the body shut down. It's not fun. It's not, you know, this glorious experience that everybody talks about. But when we understand the process and understand how it works, it can make it a whole lot easier to go through that process and help us deal with the emotions and the feelings. And especially just having that support system there on the side, having someone tell you, it's okay. You're mad today. Let's talk about it. Let's be mad. Let's deal with that. Who wouldn't be mad? Nobody wants to do this. Nobody chooses to walk through that. Sometimes it's just the way it is. And I will say it again, death is a part of this physical existence. And when we understand that, that almost can kind of make it easier. You're all coming in the same way through birth, and we're all going out the same way through death. You're coming in naked, you're going out naked. The thing that we do is we gain that physical body coming in and we lose it going out. Everything else, those parts of us, the learning, the growth, all those things stay with us. All of our spiritual development, all of our healing work, all of that stays with us. We simply are gaining a physical body and losing it on the other end. And I know that kind of dumbs down death. It doesn't take away the fact that it hurts to lose those people in the physical world. Absolutely does not. And so, but when we get to this acceptance stage, this is when we can kind of start, this is when you start realizing that you're not spending as many days in depression. You're not, and you're ready and you're open to hear the message. Because when you are in anger, when you're in that depression, it is so hard to hear the message that spirit has for you. Believe me, I've sat through many, many readings with people who just were not ready. I shouldn't say many, I've had a few. And they just weren't ready to hear the beautiful message that spirit has, because spirit wants you to heal. Your loved ones want you to heal. You know, I tell people all the time, do you really think they sit up there and go, geez, I hope they cry about me for months? It's like, as I say that, I just kind of giggle inside, because I don't want my family to mourn my loss for months or years. I want my family to live their lives. I want to be able to live their life with them. I would want to be able to be in that space with them and enjoy their grandkids coming in or their kids, or, you know, and knowing that I still get to be part of all of that and that they're allowing me to have that experience with them. This is when I talk about creating a new relationship with spirit after they've passed. That's what this is. I invite my loved ones to go on all of our vacations with us. I invite them to be with me in spirit every day of my life. I've had people say, but I don't want spirit in my bedroom. You know, if my husband passes away and I have a new man in my life, that's just weird. You have to understand that there isn't that, that's not the way this is. They don't care what you're doing in your bedroom. I don't care what I do in my bedroom. It is not that type. When spirit passes away, there is a new understanding that comes in with their spiritual growth that happens on the other side as well, that you're going to move on and that you get to now create a different life, the life that you had with them is not necessarily the life that you're going to go forward with in the future. And you get to create that for yourself. And they are happy to encourage you to do that. They want you to move on. They want you to move forward. Because as they go into the spirit world and they get their understanding as much as they need for you, now they don't know everything. If you think your loved ones know when you're going to die and your loved ones know all the answers, that is not how this works. They don't get all of that information. We think that they do, but that is not true. My understanding in development is that even our guides, it's kind of a sticky thing, but I've heard that up to 2 weeks before our passing is when our guides and those people who are here to help us kind of get the information that it's time for us to go. They don't know all the answers either. There is no set in stone. There is no, and decisions could be made and things could change. And, you know, you could choose to do something else and it could choose to, you know, get different treatment and it, you know, it prolongs your life for another 6 months. There's always opportunity for change. There's nothing set in stone. our loved ones don't know everything. Our loved ones are not here to give you all the answers. They're here to support you and help you and let you know that you're not alone. That's what they're here to do. That's their job. And I believe they're also here to help you kind of heal from their grief. But you need to do your healing work as well. And you need to do your part. It is not completely their responsibility. To me, it is not honoring to give that responsibility over to them, to make them heal you, because you won't get that. You know, you wouldn't get that here in this world. Nobody can heal you here. You have to do the work yourself. You have to take responsibility for yourself. It's the same thing in the spirit world. We have to take responsibility for ourselves. They can help you. They can encourage you. They can give you healing messages. They can help you move through that. But ultimately, in the end, it is your job to work through your grief. It is your job to work through your traumas. It is part of our spiritual journey here. Death is part of our spiritual journey, and it is our job to work through that and do the very best that we can, whatever that looks like for us. It's not perfect. It doesn't need to be perfect. We just need to get to a point where, you know what, we're okay to just, it is what it is. I say that to people too, and it pisses them off, but it's like, it gets under their skin because there are some traumas under there that they just don't like. They just don't want to deal with that. But really, to me, the spiritual development, being an intuitive healer, working with people in grief, it is all about us getting to the point where we are okay to surrender into the process of life. And we may not like it. We don't have to like any of it, but we can surrender into that process and know that it's okay. That the things that have happened, that it's okay. That things are happening just like they are designed. It's not here to work against us. It's not here to, you know, be this, it's not here to harm us. It is here for our growth. We learn something from everything that we go through. And death is one of the biggest things, our biggest indicators of healing. And we learn so much from losing our loved ones. But it can also be that you learn that they're still here with you and they're still with you on the other side. So as we go through these stages of grief, get to this acceptance part. When you feel like you've gotten to the point where you have surrendered in a little bit, it's not perfect. It's not going to be perfect, but you're going to go, okay, you know what? Here we are. This is what we're doing. I don't like it. I'm not okay to be in this stage, but I'm going to accept that this is where we're at and that this is what has happened. This is when you know that, you know what, you're probably in a stage where you will be open to receive the healing message from spirit. And it's at that stage that you can start that seeking out process. Anything before that, if there's any, you know, I have people, one of the things that I have to admit I have not really liked about doing the mediumship reading is people lose a loved one and they immediately want to connect with them. Well, they're not ready. They're crying, they're screaming, they're angry. They're a lot of these people are super needy. And I don't mean that in a, I understand why they're in that space, but they're not ready to go and connect with our loved ones. And not only that, their loved one has probably been connecting with them all along, but they're not in a place to even see the signs or to be open to any of that because they're so caught up in their own personal grief and what it has done to them in their life. This is where we know that we need healing. This is where we know that we need to do our own work, because when someone's passing, and I have to be careful here because I don't want to step on anybody's toes. I'm not downgrading the death process because it is painful. But when we can step out of that humanness of what this death has done to us and realize that this is our loved one's journey. This was their next step. This is where they were going. This is where they chose or not chose. I shouldn't say they chose, but you know, this is where they're headed and we can be okay to be in that energy. That's when we're ready to receive healing messages from spirit. That is the time when it's like, okay, you know what? I'm ready. I'm going to be okay. We're going to be okay. I just want to connect with them. I just want to know for sure. Cause it's like that reassurance to come in. That's really what a reading should be about, is that reassurance, knowing that they're still here with you and that they're helping you and that they've been with you this entire time, however long that grieving process has been for you. It may take some people a month to get here. Maybe some people, if you've been working and doing your healing workup before, maybe you're already at the acceptance point when they pass. For some people, it may be years before they ever get there. I know people who have lost a loved one and who have never gotten to the acceptance portion, you know. But we get a choice in grief. And I believe this choice is very important. We get to choose whether or not we're going to accept and surrender into the journey, surrender into the path, surrender into this is what is happening, or we choose to become bitter and angry and resentful and hateful to the world. When we choose the latter one, it really takes away our quality of life. I believe that. I've seen it happen many, many times. People have gotten bitter. They've gotten angry over their loss and that loved one leaving them and leaving them here and what they had to do and what they had to go through. And this, to me, is not where it's not where I want to be in life. To me, being on a spiritual healing journey, it's all about surrendering into every step of life, all of the ups and downs, all of what we would consider good and bad, and being okay to understand that, you know what, this is just part of the journey here. And I will accept their journey as I'm going to accept mine, and I'm going to walk the path and hold my head up high the best that I can. And to me, when we get to that point, there's nothing stopping you at that point. I'm sure you've all seen that the people who have chosen the bitter path, and they're hard to be around. It's a rough pill to swallow when people are that angry and that resentful and, you know, that caught up in situations. It's really hard to work through that. They may never work through it. And that's okay. That's their journey. But for me, on the intuitive healing side, in the spiritual realm that I am in, I have come to understand that there's a different way to look at this. There really is a different way to see the death process and a different way of knowing and understanding. I believe at this point, when we get, well, even before then, death is an opportunity for us to recreate a different relationship with those that we have in spirit. And one of the things that I encourage my clients to do when I'm working with people who they know that they're going to lose their loved one, you know, whether we're dealing with cancer, you know, whatever it is that we're going through, and we're dealing with those stages before they pass. One thing that I always encourage them to do is to set up a sign, something that the two of you can agree on. Now, not everybody can have this conversation before death. So sometimes this happens afterwards too. But I like to set up a connection with spirit. And I set that up for me. One of the big things is feathers for me. Okay. So that's kind of my symbol that my loved ones are close. To me, it's kind of become a generic all around symbol. I've been in some crazy places and found some really cool feathers. And I love that because it lets me know that, yes, absolutely, it's not just a fluke thing that my loved ones are there with me. I've been on vacation in the basement of the Catholic church in the catacombs and found a beautiful white feather laying right in my path. Now, to me, there's no question where that came from. How in the hell, in the basement of this 5-story building, we're clearing the basement and there's a feather laying there, right? And I happened to be told to look down at it right at that time and see it there. Those are the type of symbols that I look for, knowing that my loved ones are there with me. That brings that reassurance in for me to know that I'm never alone. It's not that we never need that reassurance to know that we have that love and support from the other side. It's awesome to get that. It is the most marvelous feeling in the face of the planet. You can create that. You can set that up with them. You know, if you feel like you could have that conversation before their passing, do. What is something that stands out to you as symbolic that they could bring to you and show you to let you know that they are there with you? Because not all of us hear spirit like I do. I can hear them. I can talk to them. I know that I sense them. I know that they're there. Not everybody has has honed in on that ability. So set up some sort of, you know, for some people it's dragonflies, it's butterflies, it's feathers, it's, you know, whatever it is that would remind you of your loved one and let you know that they're there. If you can set that up before their passing, fabulous. If you have to wait until after the passing, that's fine too. That's when you just start having these conversations with them and let them know, you know what? I really would love to know that you're around me. So when you're ready, if you could drop me a feather in some crazy weird place, you know, now I find feathers all over the place and I freaking love it. And it's just my reminder. I just say thank you. It's not that there is some fabulous message that you need to receive. It is simply your loved one's way of letting you know that they are still there with you. Just say thank you. Just tell them thank you. It took a lot of energy for them to do that for you. Just say thank you. And that's really what this all comes down to. You know, you can set that up with them so that you can understand and have that reassurance. That's fabulous. So as you get to this acceptance point, like I was saying, this is where you can start seeking out a reading. This is when you will hear spirit's message. This is when you will be able to understand the information. Because what's going to happen if you seek out an evidential medium, what's going to happen during a reading is they're going to have a group of people come forward and they're going to have one stand forward and they're going to start telling you, you know, maybe they start with their personality or their looks or, you know, some way to let you understand who you're connecting with. A lot of times in a reading, we will have three or four or five people come through. So the loved one that you want to connect with may not be the first person that you're going to connect with. You know, usually I would say probably more average reading is probably three souls on the other side connecting with you. It sometimes, depending on personalities, busybody grandma may come through first before, you know, your spouse or your son or whoever it is that you want to connect with would come through, because busybody grandma's energy is way more forceful than anyone else's energy. So we have to be open to that. You've got to be in a headspace where you can be open to the loved ones that have passed. And being able to, because your job in a reading is to say yes, no, or I don't know. You don't need to go on and explain. It is the medium's job to bring forth the information. Your job is to say yes, no, and I don't know. And that's all you need to say. You don't give them information. You do not feed the medium. It just messes them up. It messes up the whole reading. You just don't want to do that. And the other thing that I know, go by yourself. If you are specifically wanting to connect with someone, do not take the family, because now you've got the whole family competing with everybody. This is why when you go to group readings, people leave and they're disappointed. You've got all these people, you know, inside a group reading trying to compete for 3 minutes of the medium's time. You know, to me, it is much better to schedule an appointment, go seek out your medium, go by yourself and get the information that you need. That way there's no one else there in the room. No spirits are going to come through for anyone else, because that medium already has boundaries. If they've done their job correctly, they've already set up that spirit connection, letting spirit know that you are their sitter today and that those souls that want to come forward to give a healing message for you will be there. A lot of times we want to take other people with us. We think we need to make this a group. I'm going to tell you, no, go by yourself. When I did private readings, I literally did private readings. You came by yourself, because if you're seeking out a reading, seek it out for yourself. Let your loved ones come through for you that are specifically for you to help you move on in your healing journey. So, anyway, yeah. So that's kind of my recommendations for seeking out a healer. And we'll talk more about what a reading would be like in the next podcast. So I'll go a little bit more into what a reading should be like, what that should feel like, you know, what you need to do working your way up to that reading. And we'll talk more about that in the next podcast. So I hope this has been helpful for you today. Thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you on the next podcast. Bye-bye for now.
thank you so much for tuning in and listening today. I sincerely hope that you enjoyed this podcast. I would love to hear from you. You can reach out to me by email at GinaStroll@GinaStroll.com. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok as Gina Stroll Intuitive Healing. You can also find the full podcast videos on my YouTube channel as Gina Stroll Intuitive Healing. If you are interested in working with me or you would like more information about any of the healing programs that I offer, you can find that information on my website at GinaStroll.com. And of course, don't forget that sharing is caring. Share this podcast with a friend and help spread the healing energy around the world. Thank you for listening and joining me today, and I can't wait to connect up with you again.